Today we've invited the governor's office, Mr. Hansen, to be with us. We received the letter from the governor, and there are parts of it that sound a little like 2007 and parts that sound a little like 2008, and we really do want a bill that the governor will sign. We also know words are important, and so we thought we'd just be very clear with some questions as to intent of the governor, and I might just start. Senate is near final passage, and we have lots of amendments, and once in a while there's a call of the House, so we may be called away. But if we could just start with the first point, and that is the overall size of the bill, and the governor says it's simply too large. And I'd like to have you talk to us about why, and to describe the right size. And I think I'd begin by recalling a chart that I saw that says currently we're over the 3% limit. With the governor's initial 120 bill, we would be just above the 3% limit. The House bill was just above the 3% limit. The Senate bill was just above. We're all roughly in the between the 3 to 4%. There isn't much that separates us. So help us understand why is it too large, and what's the right size and why?
Madam Chair and members, thank you for having me. For the record, I'm Tom Hansen, Commissioner of Management and Budget. Just to answer your question, I think it's simply too large. That, in essence, means it's not so much in relation to the 3 or 4%, but more along the lines of what do we normally do in an off-bonding year. It's emergency type of projects. In this case, it is what projects can we get going as quickly as possible. And you read the rest of the letter, the rest of the letter kind of lays out the governor's rationale. We didn't pick a number because that always seems to be a point of contention between us and the legislature, but rather, Madam Chair, no offense intended to the Senate, your number was even a little high, but closer, in scope. The House bill had fewer single, new building projects than the Senate did, and had a much lower number. I think when the governor says simply too large, probably somewhere south of that.
Could we zero in on that normal year comment, Senator Langton?
Yes, you said that what we normally do. These are not normal times. And I think to begin with, we made it very clear that we wanted a stimulus bill that would do some of the very important things in Minnesota that we're going to be doing anyway and put people to work. And it seemed like the governor really isn't into this putting people to work thing. And we're at 8.2% unemployment, going higher. I think we all think it's going to go over 9. And it just seems like now, in the tough times, is just a business-like way is the time to do it. The bids come in lower. You put people to work that normally wouldn't be at work. We'll be doing things that we're going to be doing at some point anyway. And I guess, I just object to that normal times, because everybody in this room knows we are not in normal times. And what is wrong in a business-like manner in doing these things when they're cheaper, when we put people to work that normally wouldn't be working?
Madam Chair, Senator Langseth, I understand it's not ordinary times. And the idea and the purpose for the bonding bill is to get as many people to work as possible. I think that the emphasizing those projects that get into the ground in the next 12, in the next construction season, as I look down the list, some of these projects seem to be, or at least perennial, as opposed to last year, and I think some even from the year before. They're projects that I don't know if they just keep reappearing every year. Are they going to get in the ground this year? I don't know.
I would assume, though, that you understand that they keep coming because they've been in 2007, the entire bill was vetoed, and in 2008, those particular projects were vetoed. So they keep coming only because they have not yet been signed.
That's because the governor hasn't supported them.
If I could just, I think your answer to that sort of takes us also to the third point. You ask for construction ready, but you exclude building new facilities. And I wonder if you can help us understand why you would be interested in construction ready. We actually have the timeline from NINSCU that shows on all of the projects you mentioned that folks keep coming back. That in June they could let bids. The pre-design and design has been done. And so if you are interested in construction ready, why not new buildings?
Madam Chair, I think that it stands to reason that a CEPRA or CAPRA project is done more quickly than and involves the more money we can spend on that, the more people get put to work than a longer term $24 million building that's going to spread out over 24 months. I mean, I think it's just I'm trying to keep a focus on the bill.
Representative Rivera.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Hansen. Kind of to that point, and then going on, about five projects were vetoed last year, which there seems to be no rationale behind, or rational train of thought behind on those NINSCU projects. And I'm just wondering, those are ready to go, and they're important. Is the Governor talking about those being on his veto list, or however he's going to approach this?
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Rukavina, they would meet your definition of an emergency because they will employ people at this time.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Hansen, first of all, are necessary. They've been on the list and at NINSCU for a number of years, but they're also shovel ready and everything's done on them. They're ready to go to employ people and put people to work. As Senator Langseth said, these are not normal times, and we need to put people to work. So I'm just wondering in that regard. And I guess number two is, could you tell me about the projects that all of a sudden jumped out of nowhere for the Department of Employment and Economic Development? Because no one ever came to me about number five in the governor's list. And so what secret project do you guys have over there? I just want to know that. Maybe I can get it up in my district. But and are these civil ready?
Mr. Hansen,
do we give you $7 million on a whim? And then are these 18 to 20 grants that evidently the governor knows about that Commissioner McElroy doesn't, because he never asked me for any bonding projects in committee when I forward them to Representative Hausman. So what's going on here, and are they shovel ready?
And to his first point, you raised the question with him about what are emergencies. Now, the interesting thing is, nowhere in the letter do I see that the governor is saying they must be an emergency. What he does say is, please describe why you feel they simply cannot wait until next year, which, by the way, I will do a little later. But so the emergency idea wasn't really on this sheet.
I think it's that explain why. I think that's the underlying message. I mean, this kind of goes without saying that in an off-bonding year, we only do those things that can't wait until the, the big bonding year.
So to Representative Rivera's point then, why wasn't there a bill? Why now in the conference committee?
Madam Chair, I would have to defer to anybody from BEAD. It's a Commissioner McElroy issue. I'm not as...
They've been hiding for the last 2 weeks.
I saw him last week somewhere. I don't know if anybody from BEAD is here. I can...
We've actually been trying to find out some information about that, and we have found out six, but we certainly haven't found 18 to 20. The one question I had about that is, you include wastewater treatment, but my understanding was that the one thing we are getting significantly out of federal stimulus dollars, for certain, are the wastewater treatment dollars, enough to do everything that we could imagine this year. So that one surprised me a little bit, that you thought over and above that, because PFA was not asking for anything this year.
Yeah, I will check with on the That's a good question. I just don't know the answer.
Representative,
I'm Senator Thomas. Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, what I'm trying to figure out is, on top of what Senator Langseth said, if we go back to an issue like the debt,
I guess we've got final passage. We'll be down in
5 minutes. Okay. I'll finish the question and then I'll run up.
Well, you won't hear the answer though. We'll have you repeat it when you get back.
All right. Well, think about this then. When the deck was first proposed, the cost was $28 million to the state. It wasn't passed. It came back at 40-some million. We funded it at $38 million. And we luckily found out that when they went to ask for the cost of the pilings, that it was because of the economy, the terrible economy, the cost of the pilings was 30% less than they expected. And what I'm wondering is, since we're in such a dire straits as far as jobs are concerned, and we have the ability to get cheaper product now to build these things that need to be built, that will be built next year if they're not built this year. Next year they will for sure be more expensive. Why not do them all now? And why not even a bigger bonding bill than what we're considering?
And Senator Tomasoni, I'll give one other example. We were just informed by MnDOT that their building project has come in so significantly under, they are returning $7 million to the Trunk Highway Fund. So that is sort of universally being experience. Representative Scalzi had a question. We'll just proceed with House members' questions.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. And I do have a question for Commissioner Hansen. When I look in the governor's letter, and it starts on the front page regarding federal funding that requires a state match, and he says, it is my understanding that the only federal matching dollars currently available are for veterans' health and nursing care facilities. And can you explain, does that discount then the Duluth Airport dollars? I understood that those were stimulus funds, and also high-speed rail funding, the transit corridors, and the Union Depot funding, which all kind of fit together. And those are matching to the stimulus dollars as well, in my understanding. Am I wrong in that? And would the governor include those?
Madam Chair, Representative Scalzi, I think actually if you look at the governor's letter on the second page, it would have been clearer if we had put federal stimulus matching dollars. I think he was referencing, federal stimulus. We always have federal dollars available to us in the lower bonding year, but there's a specific time requirement tied to stimulus matching funds. As far as the airports, when I had the department staff walked through the list of all of the programs, those that were specifically ID'd for need of a stimulus, veterans' health and nursing care facilities, it has, even since this letter was sent, it's becoming clear that some sort of mat, in order to compete for the high-speed rail dollars, that we're probably going to have some sort of match for that as well. And I know that MnDOT is trying to figure out specifically what that dollar amount is and try to get you a recommendation fairly shortly.
And we did distribute to members the sheet that we got from MnDOT on, I believe, Friday morning that indicates, it's available. I don't know if there are still extra copies up there or not.
Yeah. The federal stimulus bill actually says for the $8 billion up to 100%. And through conversations with Federal Rail Administration officials and MnDOT, seem to indicate that in order to adequately compete, that a 20% match for whatever you're doing within your state seems to be what may be necessary.
Representative Scalzi, follow up?
Yes, follow up. Well, we understand about the Duluth Airport stimulus and the high-speed rail. That is definitely, as far as I understand it, in the stimulus package. But then what about the Central Corridor, which would leverage a great deal of federal dollars, and there's a small portion still needed for that project, and that's in the bonding bill. Would the governor then include that as well with the other ones that are stimulus dollars requiring state funds to match?
Madam Chair, Representative Scalzi, it is not eligible for stimulus dollars.
That's right. Federal funding.
Federal funding, right. It's as I'm thinking into my central corridor memories, if it's actually needed for the full funding grant agreement,
8.450.
I think we would probably be for that. They're nodding, so.
Further, Representative Scalzi?
No.
Representative Genius.
Yes, thank you. Now, I just want to make sure this is crystal clear. You are expecting to bring us something for high-speed rail that would be what you would regard as the 20% match and have it to us relatively soon to be included in this bill.
Mr. Hampton.
Madam Chair, Representative Genius, I think that you'll have a communication on that, whether I think to say it's a, I don't want to overcharacterize at this point. I think you'll have some communication from us.
Well, I think we need more than a communication. This morning in the paper, I thought this was a good article. State needs to be ready at recession's end, and what it was talking about, and I bet you've read it already, said that CNBC's 2008 rankings of the top U.S. cities for business infrastructure and competitiveness are in. Minnesota ranked 10th, down 2 places from 2007. What it was talking about is not only are we dropping, other states are scrambling to get ahead. Good for them. I mean, I don't blame them. But what I see in the high-speed rail just terrifies me for Minnesota. When high-speed rail will go from Chicago to St. Louis before it comes from Chicago to Minnesota or to Minneapolis, St. Paul, is a disservice to our business community. It's a disservice to Minnesotans. And so it seems to me we have to include the 20% match in this bonding bill, or we're going to fall even further behind and become even less competitive to Detroit, Milwaukee, and St. Louis, which are all ahead of us. And I don't think that's the legacy the governor wants to leave us, and I certainly don't want it to be my legacy.
Mr. Hampton.
Madam Chair, Representative Wagenius, I think the governor has said he would aggressively pursue funds for high-speed rail. I think the issue at this point that we're trying to nail down within the next couple of days is large. And then there's also the issues surrounding routing, in which I'm sure everybody here is well versed with it, you know, whether it goes along the river or there's some kind of a Rochester component. I think we're trying to verify what the amount is to try to have some educated amount for you.
Well, because we have been behind, the route could actually come up through Wisconsin and wouldn't come up the river, wouldn't come through Rochester, so it wouldn't be through Minnesota. And that's a measure of how far we are behind. We can't even get in the competitive queue. And so it seems to me that we have to have true matching funds to state. Actually, we do want to be one of those states that are competitive.
Yes. Madam Chair, Representative Wagenius, as I understand it, the Fed and their guidances have come out with kind of 3 levels for the stimulus funding. The first level is kind of shovel-ready, ready to go, and the line between Madison and Milwaukee fall into that category. There's a second level that's kind of one click below the line from Madison across Wisconsin and up to the Twin Cities fall into that category. And then that third category are projects that are, you know, I guess, more in the conception.
Did you have a follow-up?
Well, it's just that we are one step behind already. I don't want us to be two steps behind, and I don't think anybody in Minnesota wants us to be two steps behind.
And I don't want that either. I think we're agreeing.
Senator Stephen, did you have your hand up?
Well, Madam Chair, I was just, because we came in late, I just wanted to clarify, and I guess what Commissioner Hansen is saying is that the governor will send a letter that is outlining his support for high-speed rail, but will be more clear on what specifications he would like in the bill. Is that correct, or did I miss something?
Madam Chair, Senator Stephen, how much, and yes, I think there is, what the 20% match would be, that sort of thing.
I guess, Madam Chair and Commissioner Hansen, if indeed the FRA regulations or guidelines have come out which specify that the state will need to put forward 20% funding to leverage the level 2 funding that you referenced, then I'm not real clear what the debate will be about over the amount. But perhaps
Mr. Hansen may not have seen the chart yet that we got Friday.
It was described to me, Madam Chair, Senator. I'm not MnDOT. Whatever, I've heard a couple of, I saw this in a meeting. They give funding ranges. I think we're just going to have a more formal communication. I don't think it's rocket science. We're just going to formalize it to you for your consideration.
If we could focus a little bit on your last point, and just for the record, I would read that. Projects that do not fit into or meet the descriptions in items 1 through 5 should not be included. I would welcome your input on such additional projects that you feel simply cannot wait until next year. And I think that's the thing that might be helpful for us to talk a little bit about today. You've had some examples from Senator Tomasoni and the Transportation Building and others. And that is, these have been in the queue in some cases for 3 years. And so if we had done them in 2007 or 2008, we might have paid less. I know we've had to reduce some of the MNSTU numbers since that time. But this is the time when low interest rates and low bids, we just have lots of evidence that that's happening. And a compelling reason then to do just about anything that you would see in either bill is it will cost more next year. And it could perhaps cost a lot more. To take advantage of a year like this, to literally get some of these projects that have been on the drawing board for MNSTU for quite some time to use this good time to get them going seems to me to be an argument for why we shouldn't wait. Is that a reason? Would that fit your description of I would welcome your input on such additional projects that you feel simply cannot wait until next year. That it would cost more next year, we'd lose this great opportunity.
I will pass that on, Madam Chair. I will pass that on. I think that by that rationale, why don't we spend $3 billion this year? Because
both the House and Senate side.
I think the governor would be less persuaded by that and more persuaded by, something specific about, whatever project. They're going to lose matching money or they're going to, whatever the typical reasons that make it an emergency or something critical to be done in the odd year bonding bill versus the even year bonding bill.
Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioner. I wonder along those lines if an additional, for example, $2 million in new tax revenue to the state of Minnesota, if that might fit the criteria for why we cannot afford to wait on a given project.
That would be useful information. Madam Chair, Senator Lynch, I think you're referencing the Rochester project that I've been described.
Senator Lynch.
That would be, right?
Madam Chair and Commissioner, well, I'm glad that you're making the connection with Rochester, so that's good. So I'm going to give you 50% credit, but I was actually referencing the National Volleyball Center, which will add to the tax revenue in the state of Minnesota. And along those lines, Commissioner, I have to say I learned something here today that surprises me a great deal, and it frankly alarms me. And reference was made to projects that were in previous years' bonding bills. And we've had our good number of share. Rochester National Volleyball Center is being a prime example of this. I cannot tell you how many times the governor has been in Rochester and has shared with my community his interest in supporting that project. And it was just here today that I learned that, in fact, the governor hasn't supported the project. We asked you, in describing those projects that were in previous bonding bills that had been, you clearly said that's because the governor hasn't supported them. And I am saddened to hear that, and I think for the record that my community needs to hear this and know this. I think it will help us in the work that we are trying to do and accomplish.
Senator Lanka.
Madam Chair, you know, we can agree and disagree, and that's part of the democratic process, but I really have been upset over a period of time when we are told one thing and the communities that go in to see the governor are told something else. That has happened many times. It has happened one specifically this year, but it's happened many times before. I mean, the governor has got to decide what he's for and against and not be against it when it comes to putting it in our bill and for it whenever the communities come in. And it's happened many times, and I say there's one specific thing this year that's happened. And I think that is what disturbs me. We can disagree about the size of the bill and all that, but, you know, I think people at least understand what I'm for and what I'm against, and I don't, well, maybe sometime I'll change my mind. I'll let them know that that's what I did. But that does bother me.
Other questions of Mr. Hansen? There would be one specific request, and I think following up on Representative Rakabina's point.
I will follow up.
Because you have referenced that seven, you know, is there a list of 18 to 20 projects? What deed program would administer the grants? We've got redevelopment, bioscience, Greater Minnesota. Where, I mean, they really have to fit into one of those, so if we could get specific information.
I will do that.
Further questions? Thank you very much. And I don't know, you may want to stay for my question because maybe you have some information about this. I did have a chance since our last meeting to read from the Department of Veterans Affairs the land for the Veterans Cemeteries. And I'm told by Representative Rakabina that this particular project gets immediately reimbursed by the federal government. So it would be reimbursed to the general fund, and he said, it seems this is one of those times when you ought to be using cash, that we upfront the cash, but it's immediately reimbursed to the general fund, because otherwise we would be paying for it really over a 20-year period, and I don't know if anyone has more specific information than that, but it's just a outstanding question that I had after checking on that one.
Madam Chair, on some of the veterans projects in the past, you know, we would upfront the money. Federal government would then send us a check that would go into the general fund. But it was at least one occasion where we said when the money was reimbursed, it would go into the asset preservation for veterans. Because it doesn't make sense to put it in the general fund and then for 20 years be paying off a bond that's already been spent. So I think we have before put the proper language in so that would be intercepted and really be put into something else.
And I would imagine if we do a home, that makes sense. You still do it over 20 years. But because this was such a small amount, paying for that over 20 years, it's not a good year to find cash, but 1.5, is it? 1.5. Anyway, just thought I'd raise that question. And one other bit of information that I learned, this also has to do with sort of like the aviation fund. I did not realize that Minnesota Rail Service Improvement Program had also really been used in the past to solve the deficit. So in 2004, we took $6.4 million for the deficit. Then we gradually began to pay that back, and in 2008 we took $6.2 million for the deficit. So there are a number of these. In that case, I think there are some probably $20 million in applications for that money. When we keep raiding those funds, it does have an impact on those who intended to use it for the initial purpose. So that just a little more background on that particular program that does appear in the House. And then, members, we shared with you what we received on Friday, and that is as nearly as we could determine the state bonding funds for the various projects and really looking ahead out to 2013. So we thank you for coming. We, as I said, we're rather anxious after 2 years to reach agreement and have a bill signed and all these projects in the queue not to be line item vetoed again. So we this is perhaps the first stage of the conversation.
I think so.
Hope can be resolved fairly quickly because we're anxious to pass the bill.
Thank you. We are too. Anything else?
Any further? Then I think for today we are adjourned.